Sleepy Joe Biden's campaign wakes up. The big question is, how long will it stay awake? Bloomberg drops out of the race. We think Warren's next. We'll talk about it all today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The fight for the Democratic nomination now narrowing to a two-person race, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, a battle that may go all the way to the convention in Milwaukee.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Either the polls had it all wrong, or Joe Biden is no doubt the comeback kid in Texas this morning. I think that's pretty safe to say that's the headline out of Super Tuesday, considering on Monday, a lot of people were looking at that latest poll showing Bernie Sanders with a double-digit lead here in the Lone Star State. But now when you see how the numbers have flushed out, it didn't quite happen. Former Vice President Joe Biden actually took Texas by nearly 4 points.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, it was certainly a good night for Sleepy Joe. The campaign woke up. As I said in the opening of the broadcast, the question is how long it stays awake. There will be an influx now, we know, of resources from Mike Bloomberg, who has dropped out of the race after spending an unbelievable $5.1 million on each Super Tuesday delegate he won. $5 million for each delegate. He dropped out, but he also pledged to keep his campaign apparatus, including his data and all field staff, working. So kind of like a super PAC for Joe Biden. That is something that Joe Biden's campaign was missing. And again, as many commentators will say, having that doesn't guarantee you a win, obviously in Mike Bloomberg's case. But when you put momentum together with that, it certainly gives you a better than a fighting chance now. I mean, just imagine the world we live in today. Joe Biden is in the delegate lead. He is now leading Bernie Sanders in states won, big there, and in actual delegates. 453 delegates for Joe Biden, 382 for Bernie Sanders. Now, it could tighten up as California continues to come in. But let's go through the states quickly last night. For Bloomberg, who dropped out, we'll go to his first, American Samoa. He won there. Didn't win a state, didn't win a U.S. territory. But he's dropped out now. He's endorsed Biden already. Let's go start with Alabama. Joe Biden gets 63% of the vote. Sanders was in second place with 16%. Everybody else below viability. Virginia, Biden 53%. Sanders 23%. Everybody else below viability. North Carolina, Biden 43%. Sanders at only 24%. Everyone else below viability. Tennessee, 41% Joe Biden, 24% Sanders. Bloomberg was at viability there at 15.9%. Everyone else, Elizabeth Warren, was not. Arkansas, 40% Joe Biden, 22% for Sanders, 16% for Bloomberg. So he gets viability. He got viability there, so he gets delegate there. And then you go to Oklahoma, which is one of Elizabeth Warren's home states. She came in fourth in all of these contests and in third in her home state. Which, again, that's why I said in the opening, don't be surprised if during the show today or today Elizabeth Warren drops out. It would be absurd. I don't care if she has resources. It doesn't matter if she has strong supporters who say stay in it. You literally, if you can't carry your own state as a sitting senator, it is so embarrassing that you have to be such a megalomaniac to stay in the race. Honestly, because you can't even win your home state. So Joe Biden wins Massachusetts, by the way. He won Texas. He won Minnesota and Oklahoma. He's leading in Maine just by a little bit. Bernie Sanders won Vermont, his home state, Colorado, Utah. Looks like California, but those delegates are being, again, it's like what we talked about yesterday. He's not going to take away 400 of those delegates. It's basically splitting them. Between Biden and also, Bloomberg is out of the race, but he was at viability there just barely. What does it all mean? We'll talk about it today. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. What do these numbers mean to you and these results? Be right back.
Hey. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. So again, you can't take away anything from Joe Biden last night. He overperformed in the best case scenarios on yesterday's broadcast coming from 538 and the experts on the left. They all predicted that Joe Biden was going to do a lot better than expected. If you were just looking at 3 days ago or 4 days ago or 5 days ago, right before South Carolina, he gets the endorsement of Mayor Pete. He gets the endorsement of Amy Klobuchar. He carries Minnesota. He carries states that Bernie Sanders won and beat Hillary Clinton in easily in 2016. And Bernie Sanders was losing. And I think the big takeaway here, folks, is that the race is a two-person race. There's only three candidates left in it right now. Think about that. That field has gone from 7 to 3 in days. And I think it will be down to 2. Maybe Tulsi Gabbard, so maybe there's 3, maybe there's 3-4. I mean, she's still in the race. She got a delegate last night, but I mean, she's not going to make the debate stage. They said they're going to change the rules again where she doesn't get the debate stage, so winning a delegate won't get you on the stage. So who will you actually see? Who will voters really see? They will not. They might see Tulsi Gabbard like on Fox News and doing interviews wherever she can, but they're not going to see her on the main stage Democrat. It will be Bernie Sanders versus Joe Biden. I want to go to Than Bennett right away in Washington, D.C. Than, your takeaway from the night, I mean, the best case scenario was that Joe Biden would win 7 states, and that's what we were talking about yesterday. And even that was that would have been a big night for Joe Biden. He won 10.
Yeah, he did better than I think any of us could have expected, certainly better than I expected, Jordan. We talked yesterday about how I thought Texas was sort of the tipping point, that maybe he could get close in Texas or push that one over the edge, and that would give him a 7th state. The fact that he won in Minnesota, Massachusetts, and it looks like he's going to hold on in Maine, Jordan, is really, really phenomenal. The other thing, the fact that Senator Warren finished 3rd in her own state. She didn't not just win it. She finished 3rd behind both of the other candidates. That's pretty remarkable. I would say it was about as good of a night for the former vice president as he could have imagined. Here's maybe the only thing I wouldn't be excited about if I'm him. Jordan, if there's a candidate who can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, it's probably the former vice president. So look, if you want to be any of these candidates, you definitely want to be him. He is now the front runner with all the momentum. But look, he's got to stay out of his own way. He continues to make mistakes. And if he does that and we do get to a contested convention, then he would have a problem. But last night, Jordan, just about as good as it could have gone for him.
Yes, because Joe Biden is starting to get the apparatus behind him. And as much as the Bernie Sanders people say this is a conspiracy, Bernie Sanders came out and endorsed people like Castro, said when authoritarians do something good, you should praise them. I agree with Mayor Pete on that. You don't ever praise authoritarians. You don't ever prop them up. I mean, you may sometimes be trying to do something diplomatically, and maybe some bigger picture, but long term, the Castro's dead, still praising him over helping people to learn how to read so that they could read your propaganda to hate America, be communist, and be okay with standing in line for bread and be so to the point where, still in poverty, never able to make this socialism work. I think that was it for a lot of people for Bernie Sanders. For those Sanders supporters out there, you may be a communist. Most people aren't in America. You might be a socialist. Most people aren't in America. You might even like some liberal social policies. That, again, you can find that in Joe Biden. He's got plenty of social welfare programs for you that he's going to push on. He still wants to raise taxes, but he's not a socialist, and he's not going to praise communist. And the fact that, again, you saw this rejection by a very big, a huge swath of the American people who voted in the Democratic primary, is it was not just a Southern sweep from Joe Biden. That's what they were predicting, was that, as best he's going to do is where there's a higher African-American vote and Latino vote. But he won in Massachusetts. Elizabeth Warren won her Senate seat there 2 years ago. 2 years ago. She came in third place. A huge rejection of socialism or halfway socialism. Now, someone who tried to get involved in Joe Biden's, what ended up being a very Super Tuesday for Joe Biden, Jim Comey, tweeted it out. Jim Comey, which I tweeted out, I said no comment, said he was proud to vote in his first Democrat primary and vote for Joe Biden. The tweet is on the screen for you so you can see that. And there's a reason Trump fears Joe Biden. I mean, he really wanted to be fully, he was like looking for an embrace. You would think that this was coordinated by the Biden campaign almost. Like, see, look, we got Jim Comey, the good FBI director. But don't forget, he's the FBI director that mainstream Democrats, though they will utilize him to justify their Mueller investigation and things like that, even trying to impeach the president, they don't like him. Hillary would have fired him too. No one likes Jim Comey. Jim Comey, you have no friends. Let's put that out in the air. No friends in politics, at least, on either side of the aisle, because you were a bad FBI director. If you're a bad FBI director, no one wants you near them. And so Joe Biden certainly doesn't. Here's what his campaign had to say. It's pretty good. Yes, customer service. I just received a package that I very much did not order. How can I return it free of charge? That was said within an hour of getting that endorsement, literally. Within an hour. Actually, within 30 minutes of Jim Comey putting that tweet out. Let me put that into context for you again. Joe Biden just blew up the Democrat narrative that there should have been an investigation of Donald Trump for firing Jim Comey. That's why I love this tweet. This tweet is the reason that it was a witch hunt. And I mean, there's good news in this Super Tuesday because of the Biden's campaign's recklessness, actually, with responding in 30 minutes and not really thinking through, wait, if we go out and basically say to Jim Comey what Donald Trump would say about Jim Comey, or worse, reject his endorsement instead of just saying nothing, aren't we in fact justifying what Donald Trump did, which is get rid of this guy? They're saying reject him. Something I didn't order. Something I don't want. I'll return it to you at no cost. So, Than, to me, that kind of statement again. The Biden campaign is a reckless campaign. Jim Clyburn kind of alluded to this. Though they had a very good night, it is a campaign. Even in his speech last night, he started off, again, he was confused about his wife, where his wife was standing, where his sister was standing. Then he got on a teleprompter and he sounded pretty good. But he was on a teleprompter. I want everybody to understand that. If you heard Joe Biden or heard it on the air, he was on a teleprompter after that moment. So his immediate moment after having such a great night was a gaffe. And during the day, his campaign, Than, justified what Donald Trump has been doing, saying about Jim Comey this entire time.
Yeah, just had absolutely no idea what to do with the endorsement, Jordan. And, you know, I guess in one sense, I can't blame them for that. But you're absolutely right that it does undermine the very narrative that they've been trying to run on. And the fact that James Comey and Brennan are endorsing Biden, I think it will actually be a weight around that campaign. Jordan, I would say this on the kind of this whole narrative. The surge from the Joe Biden campaign, they've been calling it Joe-mentum. But I agree with you. This is really more the establishment finally deciding that they're going to consolidate around him and push it away from Bernie Sanders. Donna Brazile yesterday was saying how they were not favoring any one candidate. Of course, that is just very hollow coming from the person that leaked debate questions to his opponent the last time around. Jordan, they changed the debate rules to let Mayor Bloomberg on the stage. Now they're changing them again to keep Tulsi Gabbard off of it. This momentum, in my view, has a lot less to do with Joe Biden and more to do with the Democrat establishment finally deciding, okay, this is our only option. We're going to go with him.
Folks, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. This is 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot more coming up as well. It's, you know, Super Tuesday, still votes being counted, but Joe Biden walking away with Alabama, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Texas, and possibly Maine as well. And Bernie Sanders only walking away with Vermont, Colorado, Utah. And yes, California. But I will tell you that Joe Biden did pretty well in California. So he's not walking away with a huge amount of delegates, which means, yes, by the end of all the counting, it may be close. But Joe Biden is in the lead. He's got 453 delegates now to Bernie Sanders, 382, Elizabeth Warren, 50, Mike Bloomberg had 44. That was 5 million per delegate, 5.1. Don't leave out the $100,000, but it's still a lot per delegate. I mean, but again, he's dropped out. I think Elizabeth Warren will drop out today. I really do believe that. If not, she is a megalomaniac because you lose your home state. It is embarrassing. Elizabeth Warren has already been called out as a liar, as someone who's lied throughout her career. She lost in her home state of Oklahoma. She lost in Massachusetts. She wasn't enough of a communist for Bernie's people. And what's she going to do? I mean, is she going to endorse Bernie Sanders? I don't think it really gives a huge boost to him, by the way, because she couldn't carry her own state, which is a liberal state. I mean, it's like, where does she have an influence? She does have ground game, but Bernie has that already. I'm not saying Joe Biden's walking away with it right now. But if you're one of these young people who thought Bernie Sanders was going to run away with it, your ship right now has been torpedoed. You might be able to repair it, but your whole thing was momentum. Where was it? It wasn't the people waiting. The people waiting in the lines were not waiting in the lines to vote for Bernie. Let's just put it that way.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So I want to get your thoughts in on this, especially second half hour. So get your calls in now so that we can get you on the broadcast. What does this all mean, in your opinion, for the Democrat nominating process? Do you think it's now likely that Joe Biden will be the candidate that Donald Trump faces November 3rd, 2020? That's who people are going to be choosing, Joe Biden or Donald Trump as the main two candidates. Do you believe Bernie Sanders can have a rebirth because of moments like this from Joe Biden? Which remind you that until Joe Biden, who he was pumped up last night, he had a lot of adrenaline, he looked better. I will give him all of that. But out of his mouth immediately was a gaffe. Immediately was something that looked really weird on TV, too. Take a listen, though. It probably sounds weird, just as weird as well.
By the way, it's my little sister, Valerie, and I'm Jill's husband. Oh, no, this is the... Oh, you switched on me. This is my wife. This is my sister. They switched on me.
Like, you know, again, these are little things that add up over time. Now, once he got onto his teleprompter, Than, he sounded like the guy who won 10 states last night. He sounded like the guy who's gotten the most votes in the race and the most delegates. He's also, he's winning the popular vote by a million votes almost, and he's got more delegates than Bernie Sanders by about, 60, 70. I mean, Bernie Sanders will probably add to his, but so will Joe Biden as California comes in.
Yeah, I mean, everything's going his way right now. But the problem with these moments, Jordan, are these are the ones that go viral. I mean, he might have been fine for 95% of the night, but these are the ones that people see. And look, this race is his for the taking right now, at least the primary portion of it. The problem is, Jordan, I think there's an open question in everyone's mind, and not just conservatives, by the way. I think there's an open question in even his supporters of, can he take it? Now the table's been set. Now there's really no other options. Mayor Buttigieg is not an option. Mayor Bloomberg is not an option. Senator Warren's too far behind. It is literally Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders, and he is in a position, especially if you look at the states that are coming up, Michigan, Washington, Florida, Illinois, Ohio are some of the big ones that are next down the pike. It is his for the taking, Jordan. But when you see moments like this, and you don't just see him once in a while, you see him almost every single day, the question remains, will he do something to blow his chances at this point? And you know what? I just can't say with assurance that he won't do that. Is he the favorite now? Yes, he is, but he might get in his own way.
See, that's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal that he's the favorite now, because this is a guy who is on, I think, worse than life support. I think people thought his campaign was dead, as he has to keep claiming. As we said in our opening, you know, it's the Sleepy Joe's campaign came alive. We'll see if the candidate is fully there, if he's able to win. Now Bernie Sanders is going to go full on, because Mike Bloomberg's endorsed Biden. He's going to go on full on class warfare within the Democrat Party. This could be interesting to watch. Now, what's going to help the mainstream Democrats, if Joe Biden continues to perform this way, even if he doesn't reach the magic number, if he's close, it's not going to be stealing it from Bernie that in the second round the superdelegates put Joe Biden over the top. Okay, they're not going to put Bernie Sanders over the top, a guy who's not really part of their party. Unless he was significantly maybe ahead. Maybe then they don't take it away from him. But Bernie Sanders may have lost last night, Than, because if he can't get to that magic number, what he did was he made it where he's not going to have some huge delegate lead unless the Biden campaign has another falling apart. But if you look forward, it doesn't appear that it would be that way. Momentum matters a lot. And then in these next states coming up, so let's look ahead next week. You've got 352 delegates up for grabs on the 10th. Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington. We know from the polling, Michigan flipped within days, and Joe Biden has a lead outside the margin of error. Mississippi, likely Biden. So Michigan, 125 delegates. Mississippi, 36 delegates. Missouri, likely Biden, 68 delegates. We don't know about North Dakota or Idaho because the polling hasn't come out of there. Washington State, likely Sanders. But the question will be, is it a Sanders victory where he wins like any of these Joe Biden victories, where he gets 60%+ of the vote? Or is it a Sanders victory by 5, 8, 10 points that doesn't give him significant amount of delegates? So you look at that, it looks like it's going to be a bad next week for Bernie Sanders and his very, I'd say young and inexperienced supporters who don't necessarily, they haven't gone through the ringer, if you will, of politics, like Joe Biden's people have.
I think the problem for Senator Sanders is now the state landscape flips. I mean, yesterday was very favorable to Senator Sanders, Jordan. It was. I mean, the state of delegates, the slate of delegates that was available to him was attractive to him. It will not be attractive to him in totality over the next couple of weeks. Look, yes, there are certainly states in there he's still likely to win and likely to win by a large margin. But the biggest ones are likely to be won by the vice president, again, unless he gets in his own way. I would say this, Jordan. I think the very low number of delegates won by other candidates last night also helps the vice president. You're talking about only, you know, depending on how you count, somewhere between 125 and 150 that belong to other candidates. That means one of these candidates is going to probably get to the magic number, or at least very, very close, Jordan. So it's going to be almost impossible for Senator Sanders to say to those 771 superdelegates, this is being stolen from me. Again, unless there's a collapse, Joe Biden is going to be very, very close to that number if he doesn't get all the way there.
Folks, again, we've got a lot of calls coming. One line is open, though. So for our second half hour, call right now. I want your reaction to Super Tuesday, what it means for the 2020 election, what it means if you're a Trump supporter, what it means if you're a Democrat. How was it voting? There were a lot of talk about lines. A lot of those lines were not for Bernie Sanders. But there were questions about, you know, California, which, again, is a Democrat-run state, not being prepared for the turnout that they had. People waiting 7 to 8 hours. Don't blame Republicans for that. Blame your Democrat leadership in your state. It's 100% run by Democrats. But 1-800-684-3110. That is a major case involving abortion at the Supreme Court. It's being argued today. It is June Medical Services versus Gee, and it's this. That's the Secretary of State for Louisiana, the Department of Health and Hospitals. This is a case involving, as we've talked about this broadcast before, requirements that abortionists, those that perform the abortion procedures, have admitting privileges at a hospital. They can, so that if something goes wrong, as it too often does in abortions, they have the ability to get someone in the hospital to be taken care of. It's called admitting privileges. Now, one case similar to this 4 years ago, Supreme Court decided differently, but they decided to take this case, and we won't know until this summer. ACLJ, we filed the brief. Hundreds of thousands of you stood with us. And again, we are going to be testifying on March 11th, actually, as well. In Maryland, we've got attorneys to testify there about a Senate bill, against a Senate bill to amend Maryland's constitution to put abortion in as a state constitutional right under the right to privacy, but literally putting it in the state constitution of Maryland. So we're very involved. Here's the brief we filed. I'm holding my hand for those who are listening on radio and Sirius XM and not watching on Facebook or Periscope. But it's a major pro-life case, Dan.
Yeah, similar battles waging across many of the states. We're involved in them. But look, when that case was argued previously, Justice Scalia had already passed and Justice Kennedy voted the other way. Now, of course, you have Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch. Jordan, one of our attorneys who was over there said that Justice Kavanaugh's line of questioning was inclined to suggest that he might think this law is okay and should be upheld. So you never want to read the tea leaves too closely.
Right.
But at least his line of questioning was very skeptical of the claims that the law is
unconstitutional. Well, as we've seen with the entire judiciary, because of the Trump administration's appointments, Supreme Court, circuit courts, district courts, the whole thing has gone, it's getting harder for Planned Parenthood. I'm not saying they're going to, you know, it's a court ready to overturn Roe versus Wade, but it's getting more difficult. Cases that they were winning easily, as Stan said years ago, they're not. Remember, March is a matching challenge month. We're fighting for life today at the Supreme Court. Go to ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
It's a very important case today. It was argued at the Supreme Court. The argument's done now. Oral argument in the Gee case, and that's a Louisiana law. It's about admitting privileges for abortionists, requiring those abortionists to have admitting privileges in a hospital so that if something goes wrong at their clinics where they are not up to the ambulatory care standards, they don't have these standards to really take care of situations that become dangerous for the woman having the abortion. Dangerous, of course, always for the child who's going to be killed. But again, this was just saying, hey, if something goes wrong and you put the woman's life at risk, you need to get to a hospital. You need to have admitting privileges somewhere so you can just go ahead and do that. And doesn't add any extra time. And of course, Planned Parenthood legally oppose that. They oppose the idea of protecting the woman having an abortion. What it does is it lifts the veil about the abortion industry. We're going to get to Super Tuesday. We're going to get to politics. But it's important that you all know that this case was argued today at the U.S. Supreme Court. And there was a similar case there, Than, just a few years ago, but it was a different Supreme Court. Things have changed because of President Trump.
They definitely have. Justice Scalia had already passed, so he was not on the court. There were only 8 justices, and Justice Kennedy was still there. Now those 2 seats have been filled by Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Gorsuch. And Jordan, just to underscore your point about how extreme this situation is, this definitely lifts the veil and pulls the entire argument out that the pro-abortion agenda is pro-women. Because, Jordan, this is not about a restriction on abortion. This is saying if a woman is dying, which, look, this is just reality. Women die after these procedures on occasion. You should have the ability to admit that woman to a hospital. Jordan, that is a position that the pro-abortion crowd is not willing to consider. That's all Louisiana is trying to do here. And I would tell you this, one of the questions that Justice Kavanaugh asked is he asked those who were arguing that this Louisiana law was unconstitutional. He said, is it really your position that all of these admitting privileges, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, even if this surgery center is similar to other ones that have to have these requirements, is it your position that all of those requirements are unconstitutional? And Jordan, essentially the answer from those challenging this law was yes, we oppose all of those restrictions. That's how extreme their argument is. I think there's a very good chance they're going to win the day here at the Supreme Court.
All right, so folks, this is the time to support the American Center for Law and Justice. This is our brief. I'm holding it in my hand. For those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, we're not just listening to the radio broadcast, which most of you are on a radio network, which we appreciate all the networks that carry our broadcast, or Sirius XM on Family Talk there. Here's the brief. Significant, actually. This is pretty big. When you've got the different addendums we have here, which is significant, and the appendix that we have attached to that, which is significant because there's such a record on these life cases. So you may be limited in page count to your 30 pages, but then you've got the appendix here. So here's the brief. This is what was filed by the American Center for Law and Justice. We're getting reports that unlike 4 years ago, just 4 years ago, where it was a totally different Supreme Court makeup, there's a real chance now. There's a new skepticism about the argument from Planned Parenthood that these laws are some too burdensome on the abortion industry when they are laws to protect the citizens inside these states who possibly, if they are facing life or death situations, to make sure that they are as cared for as best as possible. So even when the abortion industry, they don't want to, it's abortion distortion. They want no standards to apply to them. They want to be treated differently than everyone else. They want to perform invasive procedures that could end up not just killing the child, but killing the woman having the procedure. And they still don't want you to say, well, you need admitting privileges at a hospital. What kind of doctors are these supporting this? It's a business. That's why. And anything that costs more, it's not about the care. It's not about the cost. It's not even about the science of how gross what they're doing, how disgusting it is, killing of a child. It's about money, money, money. And anything that costs them just a little bit more money. You know what they claim? Oh, we won't be able to survive. We can't shut down. Charge more. Planned Parenthood's billion-dollar a year organization. Fund these, if they have weak arguments, they're finally being exposed for who they are. Money-grubbing baby killers. We'll be back talking Super Tuesday on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let's all be honest here. There's Bernie Sanders people who are saying, oh, people had to wait 11 hours. I think they got to figure that out in California. That's not right. You know, an extra, if you got to wait an hour in election day or 2 hours possibly, big turnout days, there are some times that they cannot predict. Primary is probably even tougher because a lot of times people just don't show up on primaries. And it's so much a lower turnout. But, you know, they need to fix that in California. You know, they want to point out Texas and say it's a Republican. What about in California? Democrat run, it was like 11 hours in line and something like that. I mean, to vote, it 4.5, 5 hours. But let me tell you something. If you're Bernie Sanders, you wish that wasn't the case in Texas or in California or in any of these states. Because you wish you had the early votes that came in and that the polls closed. Because those were voters voting against Bernie Sanders for the most part. Rejecting someone who praises authoritarianism and said, hey, give credit to authoritarians when they do something good. So people rejecting socialism as well. So we will see again. Elizabeth Warren is talking to her folks about the next step. Bloomberg has already dropped out. This is a two-person race. It is Biden versus Sanders, regardless of what Elizabeth Warren does. She couldn't win her home state. She didn't even come close. She's in third place. And anybody that wants to make Joe Biden just about the South or, you know, Midwest, he also won Massachusetts and may win Maine. He also won Minnesota. I mean, so these were places that again, Bernie Sanders was overperforming in. I don't want you to forget about that case in the Supreme Court before I get to your phone calls. This Case for Life is a great time to support the American Center for Law and Justice, a matching challenge month where whatever you donate to the ACLJ is effectively doubled. You donate online at aclj.org. For Facebook and Periscope, and if you're listening on radio, you can always come back and see this, what I'm holding on the air. We've got it uploaded to at aclj.org, but sometimes just holding it, seeing it. This is our brief in the case, argued today at the U.S. Supreme Court to protect life. On March 11th, so just about in a week exactly, we'll have attorneys in Maryland testifying to the state Senate there against a bill to amend their constitution, their state constitution, to make abortion a state constitutional right. So we're active on the fight for life. Tomorrow, we will know from the International Criminal Court in that case. We presented oral arguments in for our armed forces and our CIA agents. The decision will be read before most people are up in the United States at The Hague. And we're there again defending Israel's interest at the International Criminal Court. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. This is the month to do it. The month of March is a matching challenge month. You could double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. www.jsekulolive.org. Let's go right to the phones. Michelle calling in from Ohio on line one. Michelle, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jay, for taking my call, and I'm looking forward to hearing your guys' discussion about this. To me, last night was a clear indicator that folks need to stop saying Trump's win is in the bag. It's not. And my concern is that voters, especially those that represent the largest voting bloc in America that only utilizes two-thirds of their potential for the past 40 years, they're going to cost us for the election, because the people who are elected are a direct depiction of the people who show up at the polls.
Sure.
And 218, 54 million registered Christians of that 80 million that we represent did not vote. So my second part is, Christians, you must vote for life. And there's only one candidate that's representing life.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, if you care about life, the life issue, I don't tell you who to vote for, but Joe Biden is going to keep standing up with Planned Parenthood. So is Bernie Sanders and their supporters and their platform, their Democrat Party. So I'm not telling you how to cast your vote, but if that's a top issue for you, then it's pretty much you've got one choice. I mean, that's just the reality. Now, I will say this. I wrote a book. It's called The Next Red Wave. I wrote it before the primary, Democrat primary. And it's very clear. It echoes exactly what you said, Michelle. It says you better not take for granted what happened in 2016. You cannot win an election if people don't show up to vote for you. If they're not willing to wait 10 hours in line for you, you will not win. They have to really like you, and they have to support you. And again, probably, even though Bernie Sanders is a communist and a socialist, I'll go around the whole panel for this. Even though he's a communist and a socialist, he's probably more likable to a lot of people than Hillary Clinton was. So Hillary Clinton was like the most unlikable candidate. Donald Trump was there to shake things up, and he ends up, her campaign made some serious mistakes. Donald Trump's was much more actually, it was a much better run campaign than anyone would have known because of what the apparatus that came behind him and he, you know, putting together the Electoral College victories and wins across. I mean, he won states Republicans haven't been competitive in you know, 4, 5, 6 election cycles even. But Bernie and Biden, either one of them, they have different bases than Hillary Clinton. Biden's got some of that same baggage. You think Hunter Biden won't be in ads if he gets the nomination? He will be his own ads. Will be about Hunter Biden. And it will be worse than just Burisma. There's worse things about him. And he's not off limits. He's 40-something years old. And the Trump kids aren't off limits. And not just Ivanka and Jared who work inside, but I mean, Don Jr.'s not off limits. And you know, he does things, campaign events, but he's a work for the government. And Eric Trump, who works for the business, he's certainly not off limits. And as someone who, you know, we as attorneys, we could show you all the lawsuits. So they're not off limits. So Hunter's not either. But I'll go around the panel for this, because if people don't take either one of these candidates here, including Bernie Sanders, who's not out of this, Bernie is not dead. It's a serious blow. And we'll see if his supporters have the kind of strength to convince people to stay on the ship, or are they just a bunch of young people who, once it's not cool anymore and you're not winning anymore, will just cry voter suppression as we're seeing today? I'll start here with Harry.
Well, yeah, I think you raise a number of valid points. So I think it's clear that now that Bloomberg essentially has endorsed Biden, that the Democratic Party has decided to choose dementia over socialism. And Bernie Sanders, I think, has to hope for a little voter suppression in the future, as perhaps, well, he might hope for a little Russian interference on his behalf. But I think the caller makes a very, very valid point. No American citizen who believes in life should take the 2020 election for granted. And they need to stand up, perhaps wait 11 or 12 hours, and vote for a candidate that supports life.
Yeah.
Wes? Yeah, I think last night showed us that this is a whole new contest for the Democratic nomination. All the old prognostications are out. And the caller's right, and you're right, Jordan. We can't take anything for granted. You can't just vote in your vote because you're against an individual. You have to be passionate about the person you're for and be willing to stand in line and to really go to bat for the person who has the policies and the philosophy politically, morally, culturally that you like. And so we cannot take anything for granted going into November. Biden put together a coalition that obviously last night worked for him, and that is a coalition of African Americans and baby boomers and those who are center and center-left Democrats. And those all came together, which is why he had such a good night. I think Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have a number of things in common. Of course, they're both, you know, socialist. They both present themselves as being for the common person, and they're really not. They're rather elitist. They are not, you know, the regular people, although they try to identify with them and be that. And then both of them, irrespective of their policies, I think, neither Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren are very, very likable. You know, and that goes into play here, too. But what happened yesterday, Jordan? America, the Democrats in America, had a real gut check, you know, and I think Americans of all political stripes are not uniformly ready for a socialist president, whether it's someone who's out as a socialist like Bernie Sanders. Of course, she's no longer a contender, but someone who is, you know, passively socialist and doesn't claim that she's not, like Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. No, I think that's the important part, is that Elizabeth Warren tried to play that halfway socialist card and say, see, you can split down the middle. You can have the best of both worlds. Someone who's gotten elected in a I guess, slightly less out there state than Vermont, but also I'll take most of the policies that Bernie Sanders has, but I won't scream about them the same way. But again, she had the Pocahontas problem from the very beginning. Liar. Lying about who she is, lying her way up. That it was a Republican economist, supply side economist, until she applied for a job at Harvard, said she was a Native American. I mean, things again that should have been disqualifying from the beginning for everybody. Warning signs. Okay, now Bernie, he tells you what he is, and there's no doubt about it. Joe Biden is what he is as well. It's a guy who literally had never won a primary until South Carolina after running for president a couple times before this. He's not really a moderate. He's certainly a progressive. He said so last night. He will not do, doesn't want to do away with Obamacare, but he's going to come in and try and save it. He wants to raise your taxes. He told people in an audience that he would. And yet Democrats, I think they are so scared of Bernie Sanders. They say, you know what? Again, as they said, they're willing to burn down their party with the younger voters. Even if it is kind of like midterm, I wouldn't say short term. I'd say like it may not be long, long term, but. But so, you know, for maybe a couple cycles, to not put the House in jeopardy. It's what they think. I think this, again, they're trying to calculate probably too much, but we'll take your phone calls on it. When we come back, 1-800-684-3110, a big Super Tuesday for Sleepy Joe.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
folks, let me encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. A big day for life, the Supreme Court, as we explained on the show. I don't have time to go through it all today. The case at ACLJ.org, you can learn about it. We're testifying March 11th in Maryland. We've got attorneys there because their state, they want to amend their constitution to include abortion as a constitutionally protected right. So we're going to be there to argue against that. Again, that's just our work on life. Double the impact your donation to the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month of March. It's also how we bring this broadcast to you every day. It's how we can break down Super Tuesday for you in our opinion, how you're getting our opinion from it, or whether or not in all of the different things that will arise. I don't know where you could go with more people that know more about, like, Jim Comey and himself and have had to deal with the effects of Jim Comey. As people from on the president's legal team, or throughout the impeachment and the acquittal, and now into the election, where all these things are going to be like up and down politicized. You don't think you're going to hear about Burisma again? Yeah, if Joe Biden is leading it, or Hunter Biden. And again, I mean, you're going to hear about it from all sorts of media outlets, including the far left. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Bernie Sanders starts bringing these things up. But I want to go right to the phones. But if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, you double the impact today, ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation, ACLJ.org, in our matching challenge month. Back to the phones we go. Nancy in California. This is an interesting call. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I've lived in California for over 20 years now. I live in between L.A. and Santa Barbara area.
Yeah.
And never, ever, ever have I had the issue that I had yesterday with voting. So I went over to my place, and like normal, they give you the paper ballot, you fill it out, whatever. Normally, I would come back, put it in the machine, and go. This time, we come back, we drop them in a bag. The two pages don't stay together. There's nobody managing it. You drop them in a bag, and you walk out. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And many of my friends throughout different counties through Ventura have told me the same exact thing happened to them.
Now, see, that is interesting. Did they explain the change to you?
Nothing. I asked the guy. I didn't even know where to put them in at. And the guy said, oh, just open the bag and drop them in.
California was having a mess. They predicted it. They actually said, Nancy, this is the state. Again, they cannot blame Republicans for these issues. Some of this is because the Democrats changed the way they were doing their primary. But some of the other side of this is that these states were getting out ahead and saying this will be days until we can count the votes here. That's significant for the upcoming election. Think about that. So it's interesting to get these reports that things were totally weird. I wanted Nancy to be able to make that call. If you were in California, had the same kind of experience, let us know. 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. Barry in Pennsylvania, online 4. Barry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a simple question that I think every voter across this country needs to ask, because I don't understand the state of Vermont. I got nothing against the state. But when it comes to Bernie Sanders, the question we all need to figure out is, he's been representing the state of Vermont for 39 years in various political capacities. He keeps getting reelected from one to the other to the other to the other. Now he's running for president, which means the whole country. My question is the state of Vermont socialist / communist? Do they have legalized marijuana, free college, free school, different tax structures, equal pay? What's going on with the state of Vermont that they keep electing him? Because every person in this country is going to be voting for him, pro or con, for president. If the state of Vermont's getting away with being socialist, what about the rest of the country?
Well, I think you may have an interesting point. You can only go so far in your state. I mean, you can raise your taxes as much as you want. But Vermont is interesting. As liberal as you think it is, they're kind of like, they're okay with it, like the state level. You've also got a very much an element there of just kind of like, leave me alone as well. So it's not, I don't want to like say this about all people in Vermont, but certainly the extreme left is popular there. But it's also a very big gun rights state, because there's a lot of people who live in rural areas who, guns are a way of life. And whether it's protecting yourself against wildlife or intruders on property, because you live in kind of isolated places. So you saw you will see, and as you saw before, Joe Biden's tried to use that against Bernie Sanders. I mean, as liberal as he is, he's supposedly like a pro-gun guy, and that's because he's not as anti-Second Amendment, because he comes from a state, has rural areas, kind of isolated areas. He himself was a kind of isolated living guy out in the woods. That's a show for another day for Bernie Sanders. Let's see if he can get the nomination. Or else, he becomes the almost guy, the guy who can't quite pull it off. And I don't think he's got another one in him. So I think, you know, this, and again, a good question to ask, think about this. For this extreme new left that's made it into Congress, that's got their representatives like Bernie. I mean, Than, if you're AOC, if you're Ilhan Omar, and they're mad at Elizabeth Warren right now, but she'll probably drop out of the race. If Bernie doesn't get it, he may not run as a third party, but they're not going to vote for Joe Biden, I don't think. I just don't think they're going to be there. So they're going to support some kind of third party run, and it's going to be a disaster. I mean, don't count them out yet for causing serious trouble for Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, and Democrats. I think there's a greater likelihood than not that someone will at least try to mount a run. Jordan, now how successfully they will be, what kind of ballot access they to get, what kind of party do they run under, those are all questions to be determined. But look, I think it goes back to the comments you made about Vermont. There's only so much you can do in a small population. But if you're going to have those kind of leftist governing policies inside a state, you know what happens, Jordan? People flee the state. I'm from Illinois. That's what's happening in Illinois right now. People are leaving the state. It's a very, very bad idea to send those ideas to Washington, where all the states have to live under them. Those are two different things.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Larry in Montana on line 6. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Canadian truck driver, and I pay probably way more attention to American politics than I do in my own country. But my thought was that I was listening to Laura Ingraham the other day there on Fox News, and she brought up a very interesting point. She said that she believes it's time for the U.S. to have this debate on whether it's socialism versus capitalism. Yeah. Like what she was referring to is that Bernie gets the nominee and then fight it out with Trump on stage.
Yeah, I think, listen, I think it would be an interesting debate that socialism will lose. But I don't think we may not. What this may have shown us, Wes, is we may not even be there where America even needs to have that debate. Because Democrats have not, though they will embrace a lot of socialist-like policies, will not give this full bear hug to Fidel Castro-style communism.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And for all of Bernie's faults, you can give him credit for absolutely being honest. Yeah. As a matter of fact, honesty matters. I think that's why President Trump is president today.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wonder how he feels about it. And even if you don't like someone or you disagree with them, you respect the fact that they tell you the truth all the time. Sanders and Trump have that in common, but no, America is not ready. And I think yesterday proved it for a socialist president.
Yeah, Mike in Tennessee, we can't get to his call, but he thinks Joe Biden has to be the Democrat nominee because he's part of the corruption. Stretches back to the Obama administration. I mean, yes, he is the Obama Biden. He says it. I mean, so all those folks will come back. Now, he's trying to distance himself from Jim Comey, which is interesting because that was their FBI director. And they didn't fire him. Now, Hillary Clinton would have, and Donald Trump actually had the guts to do it. But look what he's had to go through over that, over draining the swamp. The swamp would be returning. You see that in Joe Biden. It's swampy. It feels swampy. Whether you're a Sanders supporter or a Trump supporter, it feels swampy. And I think that that's something that hurts Joe Biden in the long run and the Democrats. We'll talk about it more, as always, on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.